Erev Tov. It is wonderful to be back. We are like really, really moving in this sefer. We are now in the 15th and 16th chapters of Orchos Tzedikim. We always want to start thanking Neely and his Emmett Katz for making our learning possible. And right now we're on Zoom, so I guess thank you, Zoom. B'mitzvah Hashem, Habar Leinu L'Tova. We'll be back in the 11th and 10th one day, or who knows, maybe somewhere else. It's a pleasure to be learning together. This week we are learning about the midos of Zrizos and Atzlos, which if anyone has ever opened up a Feldheimer art scroll sefer knows that Zrizos means alacrity. What alacrity means is a little bit unclear. And we're going to try and clarify that a little bit more. But alacrity, Zrizos, which we're probably going to use, probably not going to say alacrity so many times. It's being a go-getter. It's being active. It's doing. Whereas Atzlos, the inverse of laziness, is something we definitely want to stay away from. Laziness is something that I think many of us are somewhat familiar with. And so without any further ado, let's jump into our source sheet. At the very, very top, we see, as usual, we're going to see just to the introduction. We always follow the Sefaria pagination and pages and paragraphs because it's just the one that's most common and out there. And so we say, Zrizos yimid gedola Torah mitzvos. Zrizos is this massive, massive midah, and we're going to try and understand that. V'gam le'in takanas olam hazeh v'hi minas hatzadikim l'avodas habor yisparach, and it's going to bring us really ultimately to the next world. It's going to connect us and bring us to become the people who we want to be. I'm going to send the source sheet again for our friends who are joining us now, and so Zrizos is this super crazy, awesome, wonderful mitzvah that we midah that we want to pursue very much. And you might think, oh, this is a classic, this is standard. You know, we're always going to speak positively about the midah we're learning about, and that's just good marketing. But we see that it's not just something that we feel strongly about. We see that Zrizim Makdim the Mitzvos, that this is a cloud. This is actually a halachic din in Maseches Pesachim, that Zrizim will do mitzvos quickly. Tzadikim, righteous people, and the context of Pesachim, also Kohanim, are going to do mitzvos as soon as and as quickly as they possibly can. And so Zrizos is almost like a frame of mind, a way of operating, that I'm always going to try and do a mitzvah immediately. I'm not going to let it wait. We're going to see in a little bit longer, also from Sakim, we say, Ushmarta metzah matzvos, altakre matzvos, ala mitzvos. You know, just like we don't want our matzos to become chametz, we don't want our mitzvos to become chametz. As soon as we encounter a mitzvah, we want to perform it. But why? What is so, why does doing a mitzvah right now matter so much? Now, we've probably heard about this. We're familiar with Zrizos. We've seen the Maseilas Yesharim. What makes Zrizos so awesome? Why do we want to be alacritous? Why do we want to do something immediately right now? And we see it with Avraham Avinu. We talk about how Avraham Avinu, Vashkim, Avraham Boker, Avraham Avinu got up the day of Akedas Yitzchak to saddle his own donkey. And we see this is sort of the paradigm for what Zrizos is all about, of getting up first thing in the morning and doing it as soon as you possibly can. But what's so great about that? What's so special? Why do we want to be Zrizim in our lives? So we're happy to take anyone's thoughts, but I have an answer from the Maseilas Yesharim. But anyone's thoughts always make things a little bit more robust. We don't need to jump in just yet. Some of our friends are not so shy, and so when it's time to jump in, I'm sure they will. And so we see them in the Maseilas Yesharim, and this was a wonderful opportunity to jump back into this Maseilas Yesharim. I've been learning a lot of other Maseilas Yesharim over the years, but Maseilas Yesharim is a special place in my heart. That's where it's from, like my Shana Aleph, Shana Bet days. I have all of the like little notes written on the side, even though if you pay attention, it's just basically a translation, but that's how Shana Aleph Sfarim work. And so one of the midos that the Maseilas Yesharim entertains is that of Zrizos. And it says, V'amnam, he's bone it. Oh, we're going to appreciate. What's really so great about Zrizos? Why do we want to be Zrizim? Shekemusha Zrizos, who told his latus haprimi, just like Zrizos is sort of a result of an internal fire, that I'm fired up, I'm committed, I love doing mitzvos, and that's why I'm going to be Zariz, I'm going to be quick about it, I'm going to do it right now. Kain min hazrizus yivalad hislavus. So too, by doing something right now, by doing it actively, by jumping in and not waiting, and putting a lot of effort, energy, and passion into it, that's going to develop a desire internally for me to do it. V'hainu, ki mi shemargis atzma b'maisa mitzvah, someone who's encountering a mitzvah, k'mo shuhu memarit t'nuosav achitzona, and just even externally, they're doing it quickly, and they're doing it with passion. Tain Hine, who Gorim Shetivarbo to Nuasov Hapnimi, which is Kamoke. That will engender within you a desire to do that mitzvah. It'll make you like the mitzvah more. And that desire and that need almost to do mitzvahs will grow. And so by doing mitzvahs bezrizos, we're actually making ourselves want to do mitzvahs more. Ach im yisnag bechvedus betunuas evarav, and God forbid in the inverse, if we do things sluggish, we do them lazily, just like, you know, moving our limbs around, not really paying attention to it, not being fired up. Gam tunuas rucho tishka v'tichbe. Then we're also going to, our spirits will die down. We're not going to be as excited about it. And that's really something that everyone has experienced, that sometimes we're fired up and we're passionate about something, and sometimes we're not. And what Messiah Sucharan points out, so poignant, incredible from the Ramchal, is that by doing something with Zrizus, we actually want to end up doing it more. Now, it's not so different than, we're probably all familiar with Rav Dessler's translation of the word Ahava. How do you love someone? Well, you look at the root of the word ahava, hav. Hav means to give. And so by giving to someone, you're going to develop more of a love for them. By being passionate about something, you're going to develop more of a passion, more of an engagement, more of an excitement about that topic. We see this even in like modern psychology. That, let's say you're having a bad day and you're driving home. Oh, why we should be able to drive home on bad days. And you want to improve your mood. You know, you're going to be home and you know that don't want to be in a bad mood. So what's one thing you can do? You take a pencil or a pen and bite it. And then you have to bite it, because you just hold it between your lips like this, it's not going to work. You have to mamash bite it, because what happens when you bite it? You can play with your finger if you want. You can do it later when no one else can see you. You can turn the screen off just for 2 minutes, whatever you want. But when you bite it down, what your face is doing is it's doing the same thing as a smile. A smile, you bring your cheekbones up, and you can feel it, the smile. So too, when you bite down, the same thing. And so, if you bite down on that pencil, or you just force yourself to smile, but then you look like a crazy person, although I guess writing a pencil is not the most normal. But when you do that and you physically force yourself to smile for 2, 3, 4 minutes while you're going home, then you will feel happier. Endorphins will be released in your body, and physically you will be more upbeat, more chipper. And so we see that spiritually, and we see it even physically.
Have you tested this out? Or are you just trying to convince us to look really crazy?
So if I told you that you should record yourselves doing it and then send the videos to the group, then maybe that would be worth it. But if you're just going to look silly and I can't benefit from it, then that's not worth it. I am only interested in jokes that I can actively watch and see. Just like hearing about it, it's not worth it. Yes, I have tried it out. It does help. I can't say that it helps a lot. And there are other, you know, positive psychology things to take into account. You know, if you're doing this biting down on a pencil thing and then ruminating and thinking about all your negative thoughts, it probably won't help that much, but this is maybe one tool we can have in our toolkit to try and improve our moods. Not this week, but next week, I'm giving a share about happiness to the women of Buffalo Grove. Everyone is welcome to come. I think the Kollel sends out an email. It's that share is based on Torahs from Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Zatzal, who he passed away today. His neshama shehav in aliyah. Today was a day where we lost a lot of Zrizim, a lot of people who really embodied doing things in the world, accomplishing and making an impact on the world at large, in the world of Jewish life, in the world of Torah. And Yemir Tashem, we want to embody that. We want to not just say take their place, because that's not so easy, at least right now and today. Maybe one day, but not today. But we at least want to try and fill a little bit of the chasm that they're leaving behind with our Zrizus, with our Maisim Tovim. And Mitzvah Hashem, their neshamos should have an aliyah. And on that note, we see something awesome in the Sikos B'Avodas Hashem. The Sikos B'Avodas Hashem my wife and I have been together for 10 years. And so there aren't a lot of Sfarim that both of us have, because we like kind of knew, like, all right, like if I'm buying a Sefer, she'll have access to it and vice versa. This was one that she had. I saw it. I'm like, I got to buy this right now. I'm not willing to wait. And so it's written by Rav Meislich. And to be honest, it's like a little bit of a random Sefer, but it's awesome. It's beautiful. It's a doorway to Hasidic Torah for those who are not necessarily so Hasidic. He doesn't use like difficult Hasidic language, but he'll explain the concepts a little bit. And more importantly, it's like a lot of just chizuk and it's geshmak and awesome. And his second piece is about getting up in the morning. And what we have here on the bottom of our first page is the very first piece of it. Malas Amakayim Seif Rishon Mishulchan Aruch. Why should you get up in the morning? Yisgaber Kari Lamod, that you should serve a Kodesh Baruch in the morning. Why do we want to fulfill that very, very first mitzvah in Shulchan Aruch, which effectively is a mitzvah of Zerizos? We see here, Mesupar Alagonat Tzadik, Rav Eliyahu Lopian, Tzatzal, Baal Lev Eliyahu. This is actually from the Hakdama, I believe. But Rav Eliyahu Lopian, Shehaya Darko Lahashkim Lakum Kol Yom Boker Muktam Od. He get up very, very early, every single day. Pam Shalu Echame Talmidev Tama Dover Shemakbid Kol Kach Al Inyan Zeh. And so one of his Talmidim says, Rebbe, why are you getting up so early? If you think about it, you can either go to sleep late and wake up late, or go to sleep early and wake up early. But what happens? If you're just, if you play out the possibilities, do a little game theory. If I go to sleep late, let's say I go to sleep at 2 o'clock and I wake up at 8 o'clock. So I'm getting 6 hours of sleep. Waking up at 8 o'clock is late, and that's a lot. But if I go to sleep at 2 o'clock, then I know that I've done all the things that I wanted to do until 2 o'clock. And then I wake up at 8 o'clock and I have to be up by 8 o'clock because that's when minyan is happening. That's when I have to go to work. There's no opportunity to wake up any later. Let's say instead I still want to get 6 hours of sleep, but I'm going to get up at 5. And so I start my evening at 11 p.m. I go to bed and I want to get up at 5 a.m. But two things could happen. Thing number one, I don't fall asleep. It takes me forever to fall asleep. I end up falling asleep at 1 in the morning, and now I've only gotten 4 hours of sleep. That's not going to work. Or I go to sleep on time, but it was a long day. It was stressful. It was exhausting, and I don't wake up at 5 a.m. So now in terms of some hours that I've been able to do things, I'm much more likely to lose it if I wake up early. And so why in the world would Rav Eliyahu Lopian get up early when he could stay up late and then know definitively that he's doing the things he wants to do? I'll give you a nice example for right now. In Lander College for Men, the Rosh Hashiva is Rav Yonason Sachs. And so this is a very harsh story. Rabbi Leibowitz told it to us when he was talking to the Kol guys, but he gave a very, very long piece of Torah, a piece from, I think, of Gustman, but the details don't matter that much. But a very, very long, long, elaborate a piece of impressive Talmudic discussion. I gave to his Talmud, and the next morning he saw his Talmud, and he said, "No, did you see the piece?" He's like, "I started it, but like I didn't finish it." And Rav Sachs, who is very sweet and very warm, and also pushes his Talmudim a lot, says, "Well, what time did you go to sleep last night?" The guy's like, midnight? And he goes, "I went to sleep at 3 a.m. and I was still here for Shacharis." So is Rav Yonason Sachs the person you want to model yourself after? Yes, except not really, because most of us aren't like that. But people mamish today will go to sleep super late because they want to learn. Now, that was a very, very long hakdama to this story. And how does the story go? That Eliyahu Lopian is going to sleep, getting up very, very early. And why? And he explains. Now we're in the third line. Amar lo. When a person passes away, they go to Shemayim, and now they're sitting at the heavenly court, and it's not necessarily that there's a scale there, but you've got to defend yourself. You've got to basically watch the angels rip you apart or build you up, depending on how you live. And so he says, Sholem, so presumably they're going to ask, Hayim kaim es haTorah mitzvoseh? Did you keep the Torah? Did you fulfill the Torah? And so a person's going to say, yeah, of course I kept the Torah. And so what are they going to do? They'll say, okay, fine, great. And they're going to go to the shelf. They're going to take out a Shulchan Aruch. As you view Dalakel Ke Shulchan Aruch, Yavar Aleim Seif Achar Seif. They're going to go line by line. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? V'yishalu Im Kaim Seif Zeh V'Seif Zeh. Did you go fulfill all of the Shulchan Aruch? U'bevadai, for sure, She'yaskilu Mitzkilas HaShulchan Aruch Kiseder HaKal Misimin Aleph. Seif Aleph. And so where are they going to start? They're going to start in Aruch Chaim, Siman Aleph, Seif Aleph. What's Siman Aleph, Seif Aleph? Bo hisko hamachab yiska ber kari la'amud baboker la'avodas baro. You should get up like a lion in order to serve your creator. She'yehehu ma'ora shachar. You should awaken the dawn. Basically, you should get up for sure before sunrise, maybe even before dawn. V'ezapanim yiyalo la'adam im kfar b'haskala yitfas shelo kaimus adin arishon. And it'll be so embarrassing if you didn't even do the very, very first halakha in Shulchan Aruch. Lachain ani kam hashkein baboker kedei she'uchol anos she'achein kiyamti din zeh. And so Rav Eliyahu Lopian says, I got to fulfill this halakha, and so I have to get up every morning so I can fulfill this halakha. But it's not just that you're fulfilling the halakha. It's not just that you want to get a check mark on the very first piece, but it's that this is the first halakha for a reason. It's because it engenders within you passion and excitement, that being productive is addictive. And anyone who's had those very productive days, it's like super exciting and awesome. And that's what we want to build within ourselves. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is trying to build within us. And Rav Nachman Soloveitchik has a very, very, I'll say cute line, not cute in the demeaning sense, but cute in the only Rav Nachman Soloveitchik would be so particular about mitzvahs because he cares so much. In his commentary on the Mesillas Yesharim, he says, you might think, oh, you just got bad carry, but you know, maybe I'm going to get up like a lazy lion, like a tired lion. And so at the end here, he says, "Ah, Sarklis Gaber Kamari, Lokol Kachayim." You have to get up like a lion that's not so tired. Get up like an excited lion. And then we continue. We continue, and we start talking about Atzlos. We're talking about laziness, the inverse of this excitement. And the Orko Sadikim points out that if someone's lazy, if someone's an Atzel, then it's a Mida Ra for sure. But it ends up undermining a lot, because let's say you want to have a field. This is the example that Shlomo HaMelech gives. You want to have a field, but a lazy person is not really going to be able to take care of a field very, very well. Let's take a look at it inside. Mm-hmm. We're at the end of the third line. Ki kamo sada ish atzo lo di lo she'enu migal tefuah. It's not enough that just, okay, your stuff's not going to grow because you're not a good farmer. Farming takes a lot of effort. Bivnei she'enu overdoso karayo. Ela migd dal aftvarim gruim. Rather, because you're not working the land, you're actually going to growing bad things. You're going to grow thorns and thistles. I think that's the language. Whenever I learn anything in Zoraim, I never know what I'm talking about. But you're going to grow bad things. Kigon acharilim v'hamshudim shehim mazikin l'tfua. These weeds that are going to grow are going to be bad for you, for the land. It's going to be bad for anything that's trying to grow, because you're not really putting in the requisite effort. Farming takes a lot of effort. And even if this lazy person did put an effort into making sure that his field was okay, he's still going to end up losing out because he's lazy. He gathered avonim narasa, because there's a fence that has to be built around the field. And if the fence isn't built, then and he's not taking care of it, and it fell apart. But because this person's lazy, they're doing the bare minimum amount of effort in their lives. And so you'll have animals come in. You'll have thieves come in and end up taking your things. This is just a mushroom for the fact that if someone's lazy, then anything that they're going to try and accomplish in their lives, whether it's farming, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship even, if you're not willing to put in the effort, it's going to fall apart. And maybe you'll say, oh, I'm just going to put in the minimal amount of effort in this one area. I'm going to put in effort to this one date, for this one activity, for this one test, for this one project. But for everything else, it's never going to work. It's never going to last. This midah of zrizus needs to be holistic in your entire life, which is why for those of us who are in school now, it is so, so, so important that you be an A student in your secular classes, in addition to your Judaic studies classes. And there are plenty of people who might argue that you don't necessarily need to be. Avada, we're not having a conversation about whether or not you need to put in any effort. We're not talking about cheating. Cheating is, if you need to learn more about cheating, Rabbi Jeremy Weider has a very powerful, very poignant, and very necessary Asichas Musar on it. And while you turn, I'm happy to share it with those who are interested. Obviously, for a friend who's being nifshal, not for ourselves. But you have to be an A student. Why do you have to be an A student? Because Kashir Tzarech Zrizus LaTorah. This is number three. We're in paragraph 13 now. Kach Tzarech Zrizus Linyan HaOlam HaZeh. You need Zrizus for this world also. You can't just have Zrizus for Mila Dishmaya, for holy things. She Zari B'Malachta. You got to work hard. V'yesh HaTzlacha Gedola L'Misha Osei. And Yana Bezuzos, and because there's a tremendous amount of success that comes when you do anything with this Rezus, with this passion, with this excitement. You just meet people who are doing things with excitement, and that's infectious, and people are so excited and happy about it. And even so base level, you start out on a much better leg when people know you're putting a lot of effort into it. Ben Adam Tia Zaris L'Shnei Olamim. So you should be Zaris for two worlds. And you should put in effort that this world things should be done with Jesus. They should keep them here, and at the very least, do a good job, work hard, be a Zaris, so that you can finish this work and get to the work that you want to be doing, get to the work that you might not find, that you might find most meaningful, get to learning Torah, get to Maisim Tovin. And there are people who like don't try hard in their secular classes, and they find out that, oh, I'm spending more time learning, I'm spending more time on mitzvos, and I'm not trying hard. But I don't need to do well in that area. I will give the caveat that I was not the valedictorian of my my YU class. No one ever had the habit of me that I was going to be valedictorian, and I definitely could have lived this lesson more, but I hope we can. We're learning about the ideal, not necessarily about what each and every one of us is accomplishing right now. That we're setting a goal. A part of this research is actually setting a goal, which I think we'll address in a short period of time. But if we're talking about developing a personality of Zrizus and not Atzos, we don't want to be lazy. We want to be people who do things, who are active, who are accomplishing in our lives, who are really living each day, then just because I don't think that this thing is important doesn't mean that I can just ignore it. I have to do everything well. And the story about Balei Musar, who, you know, they went to visit their children in yeshiva. He goes to visit his son in yeshiva, and he walks into his son's room and sees that it's all cleat and neat. Clean and neat, and says, oh, my son must be learning well. You're good at making your bed. It doesn't mean that you're learning well. But a real Baal Musar appreciates that if you're doing other things in your life well, then you're able to learn well also. But if your room is a mess, you're not going to be able to learn well. It's not going to be the same because there's an area of your life that is lacking. There's an area of your life that's inconsistent. And so not just that you're going to experience busha like we talked about a number of weeks ago, but that eventually that Zrizus is going to creep in. Maybe this year, maybe while you're in this part of your life, you're going to be able to be Zaris when it comes to Torah mitzvos, and you're not going to be a Zaris when it comes to whatever other things you've got to do, whether it's classes, whether it's work. But at a certain point in time, that Midah of Atzlos is going to seep in to your Avodas Hashem as well. And it's going to seep in, and maybe davening's not going to be as good, or maybe learning's not going to be as good, or your mitzvos won't be as Zaris as you want them to be. And so we can never let any area of Atzlos enter into our lives. Because just like Zrizus is going to empower our lives, Atzlos will deflate it tremendously. And this extreme of Midos, this seesaw of Midos, is more intense in some ways than a lot of the other ones we've been discussing. Because when we talk about Simcha versus Da'aga, there are areas of our lives where we're not really experiencing the extreme of either I'm very, very happy or I'm very, very worried. When we're talking about Anava versus Gaiva, there are parts of my life where like that's not coming up per se. There's no part of your life that will ever come up where you don't have the option of being either a Zaris or an Atzel, which is why in our Parsha, we get to throw in a little Inyan HaDiyoma. After Matan Torah, there are only three halakhos that we learn. The most important thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to communicate to Am Yisrael after Matan Torah is this. V'lo sala b'malas al mizbechi asher lo sigala eras ha'alav. End of parts of Yisro, chaf beis, and that you're not supposed to go up the steps of the mizbeach. You don't want the kohen to end up spreading his legs too much. And so instead, this pasuk means don't have steps on the mizbeach, but instead this mizbeach should have a kevesh. It should have a ramp. What's the significance of having a ramp? I think I've heard this from many people, but the one that comes to mind for obvious reasons is Charlie Harari, is that Yiddishkeit is never is not a step based religion. We can never, ever step in Yiddishkeit. It's always going to be on a ramp. We're always going to be either going up or going down. You can't just be stationary when you're on a ramp. And so we can appreciate that there's no option of maybe, you know, today I'll be a Zaris, maybe today I'll be an Atzel. There's no carve, there's no in-between. Either I'm doing or I'm not doing. Either I am lazy, chas v'shalom, or I'm not lazy. But there's never any opportunity, there's never any possibility of being anywhere in between, which is unfortunate and it's not easy, but that's Yiddishkeit. And that's really life in general. It's not exclusive to Yiddishkeit. A person's born to work, to put in a lot of effort to try. And this is really one of those examples where if we're not trying, then we're not doing well. And we're going to appreciate that that being a Zaris doesn't mean you're exhausted all the time, but the general notion, this general framework that I always want to be leaning towards Zrizus and not leaning toward Atzlos. Yes, Mary Murfka.
So I guess that last part was what I was going to ask you about. I was going to say, like, I just was not under the impression from my teachers that Yiddishkeit is an all or nothing kind of religion. And it seemed very much that it's either one or the other. And I understand you have to have a growth mindset, but can you also have a growth mindset and say, I'm going to set aside times where I rest and I just relax and I just like have time to rest so that I don't become so exhausted or so that I don't end up doing everything because it becomes almost like compulsive and it's like not healthy, as opposed to doing it from a place of simcha and doing it from a place of I want to do it, not that I have to be doing something all the time.
So tell you what, why don't, or let me see if I can find it. Let's jump to the last page. Now that maybe we've brought it up, let's jump to the last page, because if that's the feeling that we're getting, that might not be the most positive feeling. We don't want people, people having anxiety that they're not doing well already from the get go. And so let's take a couple looks at one. Oh, I messed up a little bit here. I apologize. There's a caution that we're going to throw in about Zerizos. Now we see in source 11, this is on page 6. Yeah, page 6. I didn't put all the Hebrew in when I wanted to. I apologize. And so now you have a weird Mar Malcolm shoot. I hope no one printed this out. And this is Zerizos, paragraph 12. Avo Pisha Shehaz Zerizos Tovavot. We love Zerizos. It's awesome. It's wonderful. Yizar Shelo Yimahir Bavodaso Yosem Yidat. You shouldn't be too quick about it. Kiroke Bemehiros Hukarav Ma'od Lihikasho. Now, part of the reason why is because you don't want to rush into things. You don't want to get overwhelmed with what's going on. Kane Mi Shuhu Ratsbim Mahiros Hu No Fail. Someone's rushing too fast. They're pushing too hard. You fall. This is a thing with runners. Runners, people who love running because they don't like themselves very much, seemingly. You can't be a runner 7 days a week. You're always supposed to take one day to rest because your body needs to recuperate. Now, does that one day of rest mean you're not a Zaris on that day? No, that one day of rest is also out of Zerizos. That one day of rest is actually part of and parcel of my Zerizos. I can't run the other 6 days unless I rest on this seventh day. And so you shouldn't do things that are so, where you get so caught up. You shouldn't do things unless that are hasteful. We should be thoughtful. You should be deliberate about them. And so if you get too caught up, then you'll end up being exhausted. And so part of being deliberate is taking a step back, is thinking about things, and is not rushing into things, and it's not working too hard. We see in Pirkei Avos, the very beginning, you should be deliberate in your judgment. And now we're only seeing the English because I forgot to put the Hebrew back in. And Zerizos means that someone's heart is stirred, someone's excited, that your thoughts are around, your limbs are going to be light for your work, but you can't be too hasty, you can't be too quick to jump in, because you're not going to succeed. And to take that even further, atzlos, laziness, does not mean I'm taking a break, but it's how am I taking a break? What am I doing? Is this the most restful way of doing it? Limasho, we could take a break. We could rest because we need to rest, and we could rest by... We could rest in productive ways, and we could rest in unproductive ways. Maybe I'm such a zariz, I'm so intense that when I rest, I in my free time, I'm also reading economics books. That's probably not going to give me a brain break that I might need right now. Or we could rest and say, oh, I need a brain break. I'm going to exercise now. But if I'm physically exhausted as well, then maybe the best thing for me to be doing right now is taking a nap. Now, what happens when I nap? Some people like to watch. We'll assume when they're watching a Discovery Channel documentaries. Now, if we're being honest, if you're laying down and you turn on a Discovery Channel documentary or National Geographic something or something more stimulating, you're less likely to fall asleep. You're not really, your napping can be Zerizos, and you're not really displaying Zerizos in this nap, in this preparation for a nap, because you're doing something that's going to stimulate you. Looking at your phone is going to cause dopamine to go off in your head and in your brain, and it's going to wake you up, it's going to excite you. You're not going to be able to fall asleep. So two people can be taking a nap. One of them is doing it in a Zari's way, and one of them is not really fulfilling the full extent of their Zari's Midah just by putting their phone away. If you put your phone away, you're not looking at it, then you're more nitan toward a Zari's kind of nap. Now, there are other things you can do. There's shtick you can play. You can turn the black and white filter on. That might help a little bit. But there are more deliberate ways that we can do it. Well, we're going to... And then to really zone in on Miriam Rivka's point, let's look at... This is Atzlus, paragraph 4. That what happens when you have a lazy person? A lazy person is going to basically listen to... I guess you could say they're Yitzhahar, and they're going to listen to all of the things that are telling them to slow down, to calm down, to not work so hard. In the middle of this first line, Nimsa, Sha'atzlus Goremas Asheikabi Svaris. Laziness means that you're going to try and look for excuses. You know, as someone who's on a diet, but like they come with excuses why they need to be eating this, why they need to have that. You know, it's like all a joke, it's all a farce. Lomar Sha'osa Mitzvah Beis And now I'm going to avoid learning now because I'm going to go do something really important, really, really good. I'm going to go do a big mitzvah. And the person ends up not learning. It's a good svar. It makes sense. Shetov lanua kadeli skazik, that you should rest, that you should be doing that instead of this. Oh, lishma milid de betihusa, you know, liftoach alev, you should, you know, hear something positive, hear something nice. You should, for instance, watch comedy. Quite honestly, there are a few rabbim you can listen to who are funnier than any comedians you're ever going to meet. Zehu dafkal adam hazari zvaosik v'torah karayu. There are someone who's going to do it so that they can open up their minds and their hearts so they can relax. That's the way of doing it, bezrizus. We're not like rocks. We're not stones. Oshi yatzmosav kenakoshesli troch tamin. We can't always work. Upamim tsarif lanuach kadeshi iskazik. We need to rest in order for us to be strengthened, for us to continue. This is actually something I heard from Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Torsky. Rabbi Chanuch Teller, this must have been over 10 years ago, he made a documentary about Hasidus. And in his Hasidus documentary, he featured Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Torsky, who explained what Hasidus is all about. And while I don't think that this is the best description for Hasidus, it was the one that stuck with me in my mind whenever it was that I saw that. He says that one way to live Yiddishkeit is to have check boxes. Did I daven today? Check. Did I make a bracha? Check. Did I do this? Check. Did I do that? Check. Great. Hasidus is saying, I don't want check boxes. I want to live my whole life as part of Avodas Hashem. What does it mean to live your whole life as part of Avodas Hashem? That when I go to sleep, is that a mitzvah? So if I'm a litzvah, according to this mahalach, there's nothing to check off because there's no mitzvah that I'm doing. If I'm a chassid, then of course there's a mitzvah. I'm resting now so that I can get up in the morning. In the Sikos by Avodas Hashem, one of the things he says, one of the ways in order to make sure you get up early in the morning, that you get up a yiskaber ka'ari, he says, go to sleep like a lion. You want to get up like a lion, you have to go to sleep like one also. Which means that your entire sleep, that whole 6, 7, 8 hours is all going to be holy. That's all going to be part of a kedusha. All of that sleep, your sleep mamish could be zrizus, which is a crazy thing to think about because it seems counterintuitive, but it tracks. What we see here in the bold, avaha atzel miyasher zosasfar. An atzel is the person's going to give themselves an excuse. Benim shekakarei adshi yisbatzel mikol v'kol. It's going to end up leading you to not doing things. You're supposed to take breaks. We want to take breaks. But it's only if it's going to lead me to be able to do something next. And so when I'm doing the cheshbon in my mind, when I'm trying to decide, should I do this, should I not do it? Is this atzlus? The easiest question to ask is, well, how is this going to help me going forward? What's this going to do for me next? Is this going to benefit me in the rest of my day, the rest of my week, the rest of my Avodas Hashem? With that, I guess while we're on the topic, we'll just look at this next paragraph, paragraph 8. Because the lazy person, they think they're the smartest person in the room, because he gives an example that the king has all his servants and he sends the servants to go run on these errands, and one of the servants is like, I'm not gonna go, and so he chills. He has a nice meal. The servants are running around. What do you know? All the king's tasks were completed. He didn't actually need to be doing anything. Well, the other servants did it, and he got to chill. He was having a good time. He had a nice meal, and he thinks he's a big talmid chacham. He thinks he's a genius because he didn't have to work and everyone else did. Well, you know what? Now the king's not so happy with you. And so you thought you were a genius. You're actually not a genius. So many times people might think, oh, I'm not going to work hard. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to work on that group project. I'm not going to study hard for this test. I'm going to embody atzlus because it's going to help me, because I'm going to be better off for it. Ultimately, you end up being a fool. You end up not knowing. You don't study for a test, you're not going to know the material. If you don't work on the project, then one, your project's probably not going to be as good if you're not working on it, particularly this group. It's a highly capable group. But also, if you're not involved in it, then you can't be part of it. You end up undermining yourself. You end up almost shooting yourself in the foot. And so I hope that addressed Mir Rivka's question. Now we're going to see if we can cover ground, and we'll double back. One of the things that, where are we? All right, now we're back to page 3. We talked about that it's always going to be one or the other. You're always going to be Zaris or Atzel in some way, shape, or form. And ultimately, Zrizus is this Midah that is sort of the foundation for all. Because if you're not a Zaris, if you don't have this Midah of Zrizus, you're not going to be able to grow in any Midah. You're not going to be able to work on your Kas. You're not going to be able to develop Simcha if you keep pushing it off, if you're not deliberate about it, if you're not active, if you're not really thinking about it. Zrizus is that Midah that's going to push me into actually doing the things that I want to do, that I have a thought and I make a commitment to actually accomplish that goal. And that's what the Mishnah in Avos is saying, that Al Tomer L'Kishe'efne Eshana. that when I'm available, when I have time, when I retire, when this happens, when that happens, over the summer, then I'm going to learn. Then I'm going to do the things that I want to do. I'm going to lose weight in a few weeks. So once all this is over. And so Gufa, exactly. Yes. Procrastinating ends up being the enemy of Zerusus. Zerusus is not procrastinating. Laziness and procrastination are very, very similar. Now, Adam Grant, in his book Originals, does talk about the milas of procrastination, that there are advantages to it, because when someone procrastinates, I'm supposed to prepare this year. Let's say I prepared this year 3 weeks ago. It's prepared. It's good. Everything's set up. I didn't even mess up. And I put in all the Hebrew that was supposed to go in. And I make the PDF. I send it out. Everyone's got the stuff. Now, 3 weeks later comes along and I print out the stuff and I give the shiur. Beautiful. Or I don't prepare it 3 weeks ago and I'm thinking about it for the next 3 weeks because I haven't prepared it yet. And it's in process. And now there's time for it to percolate in my mind. What Adam Grant's describing is procrastination, but it's not really procrastination. It's delaying finishing a product maybe, but you're working on it the whole time. And so there are areas of our lives, particularly when we want to be creative, which is kind of Adam Grant's point, where it's not an atzlus in the project. It's an appreciation that I'm not going to create a finished product right now because I know that it will get better as time goes on when I have more time to think about it. But in most areas of our lives, procrastination is not going to help. It's not going to be beneficial. And that's exactly what Chazal is saying. We're not going to question Chazal. Don't push things off. Don't assume that one day I'll be available because Shema lo tipana. Maybe you're not going to be available. Maybe this summer when you thought you were going to learn that thing, when you thought you were going to work in this mina, when you thought you were going to accomplish that goal, maybe the summer fell apart. Maybe. You were going to wait until after Purim of 2020 to really start working in school, to really, really put an effort in your midos when you're interacting with your friends, to really, 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 really daven well, and you know to go to the base medrash every morning so that you could daven. And then a worldwide pandemic happened, and now you're stuck at home. And that goal that you wanted to accomplish didn't happen. That's what Chazal is telling us here. And so we want to be Zerizim right now. We don't want to wait for it. And one of the ways in which that manifests is particularly in this context, in a Torah learning context. And this is something that Baruch Hashem I've developed over the past couple years, particularly in thanks to my good friend and mentor and Rebbe, Rabbi Meirson Kostromer. He's also my mashgiach. And he is very, very good at taking notes and writing down his power thoughts and things that he's learned. And I'm doing better. I gave a shiur actually this past week based on a piece from Rav Soloveitchik that I saw, I think about Pesach time. But because I wrote it down, I had it in my notes, I was able to remember it. If you learned an awesome piece of Torah and you don't want to forget it, then write it down. Write it down, put it in a folder, put it in a notebook if you're a notebook person. But keep track of it. When you get to Shemaim and I say, Ashrei mi shabalakam v'tamudo biyado. Praiser is the person who came to Shemayim and has the Talmud in their hand. Now, the pshat in that, and probably the most obvious and probably the most correct way to understand that is that is Ashrei mi shabalakam, someone who came to Shemayim and they know Kol Torah Kula. Ashrei refers to Shechter, who knows Kol Torah Kula and comes to Shemayim. But
we're exempt. Rabbi Zucker, hold up. I think we're exempt. Okay. So we get a free pass. Anything we walk up with, if I walk with the Talmud, the Sambar Rebbe's going to meet me and say, what are you holding that for? You know, depends on who I meet there.
All right, fine. So to that point, not that I'm going to speak against the Sambar Rebbe, but to the point of our exempt or whatever else, there's a cute story about how there was this guy who grew up an Ashkenazi Jew, and he became a chassid, and his dad didn't like that he became a chassid. And when his dad was dying, he said, don't say Kaddish for me. Because if you say Kaddish for me, you're going to say, which is something that Svardim and Hasidim say. And I don't want you to say that. And so don't do it. And so tell me you're not going to say Kaddish for me. And sure enough, the son says, Abba, I'm not going to say Kaddish for you. Don't worry. Then Abba dies. And what do you know? The kid's saying Kaddish. And he's saying, the people are like, wait, dude, what are you doing? And he says, my Abba, when he was in this world, he didn't want me to say it. But now that he's in the Olam HaEmes, now he knows that I really should be saying it. So when you get to Shemayim, I don't know what's going to happen, but you can throw your Gemara in whomever's face if they don't like it. Maybe you should be learning it, maybe not. That's a shiur we can do another time. But the notion, though, the idea of praiseworthy is someone who has access to their Torah, someone who – it's not that you had a goal that you need to learn Kol Torah Kula, but that someone's life was a building block, that they built themselves up. that there become a wealth of Torah, not just because they sat in a shir once a week and they sat and listened, but they had notes. They remembered it. They thought about it. And maybe you're not taking notes necessarily on the shir. Not everyone's a note taker, and that's totally fine. There's a story from Rabbi Yaakov Grun, who was in a Moshiach with Matzyahu Solomon, who's the Mashkiach in Lakewood. And he's furiously taking notes. And Matzyahu Solomon is saying in the shir, you know, there are some people who spend so long just furiously taking notes during shir that they're not really paying attention. They're not letting the words of Musar seep into their hearts. And he's like writing down those words, and he's like stops in the middle and realizes, oh, maybe I shouldn't be writing it down like this. And so he changed his note-taking style. Not necessarily mean that you should. It just means that it's just a fun story. But this notion of building yourself, of moving along, of being somewhere different than you were last year, that when you get to Shemayim, that you have some accomplishment, because you don't allow yourself, you're a Zaris in not forgetting your Torah. And one of the ways to develop a Zrizus, particularly in the context of Talmud Torah, is looking at the Gemara and Shabbos. This, as we see in the middle of our page in 4b, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Tov li yom echad sha'ata osek b'Torah me'elaf olos sha'as sibid chali karev lefane al gabe mizbeach. He tells David HaMelech, Hashem says, I love your Torah learning so much more. Just one day of your Torah learning is more precious than 1,000 karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves when we learn Torah. And if you just think about it for a moment, why? Because Torah is Kadosh Baruch Hu's life in this world. Torah is God's representation in this world. And so when we spend our time delving into who God is and what God wants from us, God's going to be super happy. It's super kashmir for him. And so...
How is that fair?
When we spend a moment thinking about how much God wants me to be doing this, we talked last week or 2 weeks ago about how much God's waiting for your Maariv, then that can engender within us an excitement, that a Zrizus that we want to accomplish. Yes, Mir Mifka.
This probably is a whole different shir, but just to maybe give an idea for another shir, is that like Gemara kind of pointing to learning Torah is more important than acting Torah?
No, it's a question for another time. In general, what the role of learning Torah is, learning Torah is an example we see all the time in our shiurim. And so at some point we'll talk about it. We actually have a Shaar HaTorah. And so stick around for another like 4 weeks, I think, and we'll get there.
Okay.
But no, I don't think in any context Chazal would ever say that learning Torah is more important, because we talk about-
greater than karbanos. Right. That's literally what it says.
Okay, interesting. All right. Well, when we get to Shaar HaTorah, we'll talk about it. We have to remember the question.
There are other things that counter that say the opposite, that action's more important than thought or whatever. Right.
Yeah, and Gadol Shivusha Yosem Yili Mudo, that spending time with your Rebbeim is going to be greater, that Gadol Talmud Shemivi Lidei Maisa, that learning is really supposed to lead us to action. But that brings us to our next point. One of the ways this comes up most poignantly is not necessarily in the Torah that you learn, but the Torah that you have not yet learned. When you have a question, there are so many people who have questions and they just don't ask them. Last year, I gave a shir, I gave a Nili Halakha shir on Hilchos Shabbos. And it was a nice intimate group. There was like three other things going on that night. And so it was just a few of us. And so we covered what I outlined, but there were a lot of questions, which was great. It was awesome. I love fielding questions and exploring ideas. And we were exploring some halakhic topics, trying to figure out what the right din was for these various things. And at a certain point in time, I stopped. And because, you know, it was a nice, warm group, I wouldn't do this with everyone. I stopped the women and I said, all of you have shul rabbis who are very, very busy, but they are proverbially waiting at their phones for you to call them and ask them these shilas. Why am I getting them right now? Like, these are not like new things that came up this past week. So why are they coming up? They're like, oh, I've had this question for a long time. If you've had a question in Hilchos Shabbos for a long time, then there's like a little bit of a mismatch happening here. Hilchos Shabbos questions are like kind of pretty immediate. You want to get them done within the next 2, 3, 4 days. And so if I can be helpful with that, please let me know. I'm happy to field any halakhic shilas and more likely pass them along to someone who can, but I'm happy to be the conduit with anyone who needs it. But the point is that when you have a question, we have the question, we're like, oh, that's a good question. Oh, that's an interesting thought. And then we get distracted and we forget about it. Part of Zrizus is saying, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to mark it off. I'm going to create some way for me to get back to it so I can address this. That's part of the meat of his resource of saying, I'm not going to let this go. I'm not going to let this opportunity pass. Even if it means I'm not asking the question right now, although the Orchos Tzaddikim does recommend it, but if I'm giving myself the opportunity to ask it one day, then I'm much better off. Now, we're not going to see the bottom of page three. Bottom of page three is the Mishnah Brisa from Pinchas Ben Yair, which is the foundation of the whole Maseiach Yesharim. Maseiach Yesharim has 10 steps to basically become a perfect person, to be able to revive the dead, to perform Tchias HaMesim, bring Eliyahu Navi. And one of those 10 steps is Zrizus. So clearly Zrizus is super awesome and wonderful. This is an interesting point. This is in paragraph 8, but we have it as number 7. There's a level of Zrizus in our thoughts also. You know, sometimes difficult things happen, bad things happen. And what's the first thought? What comes to mind in that moment? One of the ways that Zrizus manifests itself is in not just in the first thing that I do, you know, the action that I take, but in training myself, not just that I'm Zaris in my actions, but I'm Zaris in my thoughts. My first thought is a positive one, is a Torah one. I had a friend who was telling me about, I think it was a summer kollel, whatever the example was. And he started saying something, stopped. And he says, no, I'm going to say something good, and then I'll tell you, and then I'm going to say something less good. And can we make the first thing that comes out of our mouths positive? Better, can we make the first thing that pops into our heads positive? But maybe the best way to do that is to start with the first thing we say. Even if we're going to have to share Lashon Hara L'Tuelis, which people are probably more lenient on than they need to be. Even if we're going to say something that's about how we didn't appreciate, we didn't enjoy it, we had a bad time, can we start with something good? Not because we're pandering, not because we're pretending like it was good, but can I recognize within myself that there was a positive here? It's very, very unlikely that anyone will experience something without a positive. I had a friend who just lost his mother, and he was able to see positives in the fact that he lost his mother right now. And he was able to recognize that if he had to lose his mother, then in some ways, the fact that it happened during COVID and that they got to spend all this time together leading up to it, that there was a benefit there. You can always find some kind of positive, and we want to resource in our thoughts that I can think positively. There's another element of resource that we want to engender within ourselves also, which is resource from our thoughts. And with this, we addressed a little bit earlier, but now we're getting back to it, that when I have a thought, when I realize that I want to be better, that I want to do more, what do we do at that moment? When I realize, very simply, I want to go on a diet. Do I start dieting now or I start dieting next week? When I realize that I want to start learning this, or when I want to daven better, if I decide I want to daven better, then what does my dieting look like that afternoon? Zrizus says that I'm not going to assume that tomorrow I can start, but that today I'm going to do it. If we want to be Zrizim, we want to do it right now. And particularly because we almost need to, because if we don't, then what happens? Anytime you recognize something we're doing wrong, anytime we recognize Chalila a sin, but even just a mita that could be better, if we wait until tomorrow, then we're just pushing it off, we're procrastinating, but we're also sort of allowing it to become part of who I am. It becomes like part of my personality. And now, like, I'm not someone who has impatience sometimes, who feels impatient in this setting, but I'm just like an impatient person. And it's so much harder for us to get rid of that once it sort of becomes part of who we are. And it can become part of who we are very quickly once we recognize it. And so we want to figure out some way to get rid of it, to be Zrizim in improving our mitos, in doing mitzvos, in improving in whatever way we want to, as soon as possible, immediately, without pushing it off. Because Atzlus was going to tell us, the Yitzhar is going to say, don't worry about it now, do it later. Don't worry about doing that now. Wait until you graduate. Once you graduate, it'll be okay. Wait until you get married. Wait until you have kids. There's one hakpada that I really want to do that I keep pushing off, partially because family members won't let me, but partially because like it wasn't easy for me at the time. Now, Baruch Hashem, I think I actually could. I do it, but now family members aren't letting me, which is fair. But if you keep pushing it off, you're eventually just not going to do it. You keep pushing off that thing you want to accomplish, it'll eventually just not happen. The Maseiach Yesharim gets into this even more. This is really going to be muster for me. I'm not talking to you. I know this already, but I'm going to share with you because I think it will be educational, informative, hopefully. The Zucker household is a wonderful place to spend a Friday night dinner. Problem is, the Zucker household setup has the dining room and the living room right next to each other. And the dining room chairs are meh. They're not great. They need to they would benefit from having armrests. And because they don't have armrests, oftentimes people migrate from the dining room table to the couch. And when people get end up on the couch, then particularly on like these, you know, like these cold Friday nights, they get into a blanket, and all of a sudden they wake up and it's 2 a.m. And even though like there's a little bit of an issue that like now your Shabbos clothes are all creased, the bigger issue is that you missed out on Birkas HaMazon. And so many times, at least in my life, I've said, oh, I'm not going to bench now. I'm going to bench in a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, boom, I forgot. I missed out. Not benching is a miss of a mitzvah deraisa. This is not like a little enough. This is a big deal. And so Zrizus, and I'll share it now, after preparing this year, Mitzvah Shem, I'll be a Zariz in benching. Feel free to check in on me. When Rav Dessler quit smoking, he told the whole yeshiva because he didn't want anyone to let him smoke. He wanted to really stop. So feel free to check in on me and find out how it's going. But I really want to bench.
An invitation for Friday night?
One day. We'd be happy to at some point. I should probably ask my wife first, but I'm sure she'd be happy to. One day, once we're all vaccinated. But if you're in a situation and the Mishnah Shasharim on the bottom of page 4 is talking about how when you start a mitzvah, you got to finish that mitzvah. And so but it's not just finish the mitzvah. It's, maybe I didn't start the mitzvah mamish, but I started the process toward the mitzvah. I heard that someone lost a parent, someone lost a family member. I want to pay a shiva call. Oh, I'll do it, but not yet. I'll do it soon. Erev Shabbos, I got to call grandma, but I'm not going to call her in the morning because, you know, she's kind of busy in the morning and I've got things going on. So I'll call her a little bit. And then all of a sudden it's like 10 minutes before Shabbos and you never call grandma. Totally, no one would ever do that. But any of these examples, part of his resource is saying, I'm going to do it now because I don't want to risk not doing it. Yes, sure.
I think there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that like very nicely incorporates this, that it says, lo alacha amlacha ligmor v'lo atah ben chorin lehi betami mena. Like, mm-hmm. If you have to, you can't say, like, it's not up to you to finish it all, let's say, but you can't also not try and not start it. I mean, there's many ways to interpret this Mishnah, but I think it just reminded you of what you, what you said reminded me of.
Thank you very much for sharing. Maybe now is not the right time. Maybe now I can't really do all the things I want to do, but at least I have to do something to start. Maybe part of starting is setting up that commitment, is telling someone I'm going to do it, is talking to a friend and saying, this is something I want to accomplish, and hold me to it in the future. But finding some way, even if right now is not going to happen, even if I don't know that I'll be able to accomplish it. Now, this is something we need to address because we're talking a lot about how bad Atzlus is and how good Zrizus is, which obviously is true. But there are advantages to Atzlus. Atzlus, this, we're not going to say laziness. Laziness, you're going to be lazy. The example that Orchos that he can give us is a little bit cliche. You should be lazy when it comes to doing Averos. Okay, we're not lazy when it comes to doing Averos. That's not how it works. But maybe we can procrastinate when it comes to Averos. And there's an amazing story from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he was a unique gadol in a lot of ways, but one is that he spent 25 years in the Russian army. He grew up in the Russian army and still became the gadol ador, or one of the gadol ador. So the Stifler Gaon, he was like deaf because of the horrible things he went through when he was in the army. And the Stifler Gaon, back when he was just Yaakov, he's in the Russian army, and one Friday night, I love the story, one Friday night, he's got guard duty. And having guard duty on Shabbos is great because you don't have to violate any Yisurim. You're standing there and watching. There's nothing going on. You're in Russia. No one's attacking you. And so he's at guard duty and he realizes that he's in Russia and it's freezing. And there's a coat on the tree that like the guard's supposed to wear. Even like these super tough Russians appreciate that in the freezing cold night, you can't be on guard duty the whole night without wearing a big parka coat. And so the parka's on the tree and he goes to grab for it. And then he realizes, oh my gosh, there's an isser that you're not supposed to take things off of trees on Shabbos. It's a gzeira, whatever, fine. And so he's like, well, what do I do? He says, well, he does the chashbon pretty simply. I have to wear the coat because if I don't wear the coat, I'll freeze. It's pikuach nefesh. So obviously I'm going to take the coat off the tree and it'll be a slight Shabbos violation, but I need it for pikuach nefesh purposes. Okay, good chashbon. And then he says, well, hold on. I'm not going to freeze right now. I can wait 5 minutes. And in 5 minutes from now, then it'll be pikuach nefesh. Then I'll really get close to freezing. Then I'll need to wear the coat. And 5 minutes from now, I'll take the coat off the tree. So sure enough, 5 minutes goes by. And he says, do another 5 minutes. Okay. So another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes. I could do another 5 minutes. And in 5 minute increments, the stipler keeps pushing off, taking the coat off that tree. And eventually until the end, he goes through the entire night and never takes the coat off the tree. Now, if you're on guard duty in a Russian winter, please put on a coat. If you're outside in Chicago in the winter, please put on a coat. It's very cold outside. But and don't expect that you're going to push things off for 5 minutes forever. But whether it's like an Avera Mamish, which we, God willing, will avoid, but it's part of life, or even if it's not something that's so good, or even if it's stopping doing something good, can we push it off for 5 minutes? Can we say, I don't need to do it right now. I'll do it in 5 minutes. Maybe I can push off for another 5 minutes. Maybe I don't need to say this thing right now. Maybe I don't need to look at that thing right now. Maybe I can push off for 5 minutes. And maybe it's not a Torah Mitzvah thing. Maybe it's an accomplishment thing. Maybe it's a Mida thing. Maybe I want to avoid doing that. Maybe I want to start doing this. Can I do it for 5 minutes? Can I push it off for 5 minutes? Can I do it for just 5 minutes? Everyone can do something for 5 minutes. And so when it comes to laziness, when it comes to procrastination, can I procrastinate and can I push just a little bit, just for 5 minutes? Because even though that's really taking our procrastinating nature and turning it toward the positive and channeling it toward the good. Because there's no mida that's bad, as we know very well. Rather, every mida just needs to be directed toward the positive, toward the good. At this time, it's already 9 o'clock, so I think we'll wrap up. And it's been a pleasure learning. I'm happy to stick around and field questions, but that'll be the end. Let's just do a quick recap, although I can't guarantee it'll be totally in order. Rabbi Daniel Feldman in YU will give an hour and a half long Gemara shir and then recap the entire thing without looking at any notes. But fortunately, he's not giving shir. I am. So we know that Drusus is awesome. We know that Drusus is a big deal, but what makes Drusus so important? Because Drusus is really the foundational Mida to help us accomplish any other Mida we're going to be working on. It's what's going to be pushing us, propelling us to work on our Kas, to work on our Simcha, to work on our Gaiva and our Anava. And so we always need to be Zerizim, not just in one moment, but all the time, because Zerizus is that foundational mitzvah and that mita. And it's so important that after Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you got to be Zerizim. You're going to live your life on a ramp. And if you're not being Zerizim, you're going to be Atzlim. You're going to be an Atzel. You're going to be lazy. And so the Mesillas Yesharim points out that part of being a Zariz is not just that you're accomplishing things with Zerizus, but that you're actually engendering passion into your life. By doing something with Zerizus that you might not have felt passionate about before, you're going to create that passion. And that's why it's the first halakha in Shulchan Aruch. That's why Rav Eliyahu Lopian used to get up super early in the morning. And that's part of becoming who we are. That Zerizus is why we get easy in class. It's about how we think. It's about making sure that things are for the positive. It's what's going to push us to be better. And maybe appreciating the godless of this action, how much our Kodesh Baruch Hu appreciates it, how much my parents appreciate if I do something. Then it makes it easier for me to do it with Rizos. And when it comes to Atzlos, like we just pointed out, maybe if we think about laziness, not in terms of the pure laziness, but as procrastination, that there are things we can procrastinate. We can procrastinate not doing a bad thing. We can procrastinate. We can do a good thing for just those 5 minutes. Mr. Shem will be Zoka to be Zrizim, to not be Atzlim, to procrastinate only when necessary and only when beneficial for us. And now let's open the floor, because I'm sure that some of us have things to say and things to share.
I just had a really short thought.
You can have long thoughts. I'm not going anywhere.
It was short, though. There was a tefillah shir that I used to listen to, and one of the first, like, it was like a 5 minute shir every morning. And one of the first things that I wish I could remember the Rav who gave it, but next time I will bring the source. But he used to say, or he said that the way you wake up in the morning will like pretty much like will direct your entire day. So just pretty much emphasizing the importance of Moda Ani, and like when you wake up in the morning, having your first thought to be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that like always, it really does make a difference. Like when I wake up and that's my first thought and Moda Ani is the first thing I do. I definitely saw a difference. So
it's awesome. It's totally it changes your day, and one of the best ways to do that is to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu when you go to sleep. That's the idea of Kriyas Shema Shalemita. In the Army, in the Navy, one of the things is that you always have to make your bed. The first thing you do your day is that you're supposed to make your bed, not just because they want a neat barrack, but because This way you're accomplishing, you're doing something positive and productive immediately when you wake up, and it sets the tone for the rest of your day, like Ziva's pointing out. Mary Rivka, did we field your question? Are we clear?
We did. I was going to share one anecdote that, like, personally for me in high school, like everybody here, oh, except Sarah and Marley, but I don't know if you guys know Rabbi Mordechai Ginsburg from the Yeshiva. So he taught us in 11th grade, and I just remember that he really inspired me by Hanukkah when he said, like he was very, very fiery. He is that kind of personality. And he's just like, the Yevanim are still winning if we're watching TV and doing these things, blah, 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 on Hanukkah, whatever. But he really inspired me. And I was like, you know what? Just for Hanukkah, I'm not going to watch TV, like, just for Hanukkah. There's nothing necessarily wrong. I'm not watching anything inappropriate, but just stop. And then, like, the week after, I was like, you know, I already did it for one week. Let's just do it for the next week. And then the third week. And then, like, years later, I still hadn't watched really almost anything because that one time that he inspired me on Hanukkah. I can't say I'm that good anymore, but I still think about that, and it helps me get back on track when I just think about all I have to do is start one time.
Oh. I hope he knows that. Have you ever
he
told
doesn't.
Him?
I should call him and tell him that. You're right.
Yes, you should. There's a guy named Drew Dudley who has a TED Talk that's 6.5 minutes long. It's worth watching. And he talks about leadership and lollipop moments, and basically tells like some story about how he made a massive impact on someone's life and never knew the story and didn't know what happened until like years later. Because we never ever tell people why they're our heroes or how they helped us. So I highly recommend telling them.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank I don't you. Have anything to add, but thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Rabbi Zucker. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye.